Now, back to the Bill Shank Show on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Hey, I want to pass along some good news when it comes to the coronavirus, comparatively, I guess. And that is, for the second straight day, the state of Georgia has reported fewer than 2,000 new cases. Today it was 1,843, and that's the first time this has happened since June. So, you know, we're kind of grasping at straws for good news when it comes to this mess, but still, numbers are down for 2 days in a row. Let's hope tomorrow we'll have 3 days and just continue to make progress somehow, some way. All right, let's talk Georgia football and bring in Jake Rowe from Dogs 247. You can follow him on Twitter at Rowe, R-O-W-E 247. Well, first day of practice. It's always a fun day for me. Sometimes I'm up there, but weird first day of practice, right?
Yeah, no, we're not going to get to see any of it, and I don't blame them. You know, I've said this over and over and over again, but when you got construction going on out there, and they're practicing some in the indoor, some on one field, so probably a little more congested out there than it normally is, and just no use to risk it, man. No use to kind of penetrate that bubble that you've got going there. I mean, unless they're going to give us all these quick tests and all that stuff, then keep us all out, and we'll take our availability. I think we as reporters, you know, especially the Georgia beat, want a football season, and they want a football season to cover, and that's paramount, you know, for us instead of having practice access. But I just think that I think that's a really good decision, and hope to make the most of availabilities. Hope we get a chance to talk to Todd Monken, like we typically do, new coordinators in the preseason. But no practice availability does not hurt my feelings.
So you're not going to have any at all, from what you
understand? Believe so, unless they kind of set something up for us at some point to get it. I just don't think we're going to get any practice availability, and I think that's pretty common. I was reading where West Virginia is not doing it. I don't believe you're going to get seen at Alabama.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising.
So are they going to do all interviews with Kirby and the players on Zoom?
That's what it looks like, and I do believe that it's under heavy consideration, if not already decided, to do post game availability in Zoom as well, which I think is a very good idea too.
Now, look, the Braves are doing it, and heck, I mean, you know, what's the point of going if you can't see them anyway? So I think it's worked out very well with the Braves. I've watched all the Braves and had to deal with them on our website. So it's something that I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. All right, this schedule, I was expecting too much. I thought they'd come out with a bang of Georgia, Florida, or something to kind of get us excited. Seven duds on this schedule, though. Were you a little surprised they did that?
Yeah, I am, because I felt like CBS and ESPN and the SEC Network, the you know, the TV side of the office, would kind of have, you know, a little bit of say in it. And I felt like, I mean, the way I understand this, and I could be wrong, you probably have a lot more of an idea about media rights and TV contracts than I do, but my understanding is that, you know, the CBS pays what it pays for the game of the week and for its two doubleheaders, and they pay the SEC, and that money is that money. It's not like the money the SEC gets is not dependent upon ratings, and the money that the SEC gets from ESPN is not dependent upon ratings. They pay for the TV rights, and then those networks reap the rewards from having high profile games. Well, if CBS or the ESPN are having any say in those week one games, they would want something that they could start out, you know, kind of fast with. But at the same time, maybe their thinking is just, we'll all be so excited about the idea that there'll be college football that we'll consume it in mass quantities no matter what, and that's just kind of a fish in a barrel type weekend. I'm not sure how they're looking at it, but you know, there's also the thing out there too that maybe if they end up having to push the season back a week or 2 weeks or whatever, maybe they don't lose that much.
Yeah.
I really don't know, but I did kind of expect some marquee games. I at least expected, Bill, there to be, with the SEC having complete and utter control of the schedule, that for there to be you know, a marquee game every week, and for there to be one, at least one big game every week, and that the first week is devoid of that. I mean, it really looks like the perceived top seven teams in the conference against the perceived bottom seven teams in the conference.
I don't even know what CBS would want to take. Do you?
Nah, I really don't. I mean, maybe Tennessee. Who's Tennessee playing? Tennessee,
South Carolina, maybe.
South Carolina,
yeah.
Auburn, Kentucky, maybe.
I thought if Joy Gatewood's given immediate eligibility and starting against Auburn, maybe there's a storyline there. But I mean, just ugh.
Yeah, but ugh. I'll say this: I do think you need to watch Auburn, Kentucky, because I do think that that's a potential upset. And I think Florida, Ole Miss. You know, Tennessee having to go to Ole Miss. I'm sorry, Florida having to go to Ole Miss is one to watch out for too, because I think Lane inherited a little bit more talent than did, Sam Pittman and Eli Drinkwitz.
Well, and Jake, I just read a few moments ago before you came on, there's a report that several of the Florida receivers are not at practice today, and there's talk that they may have opted out. And that's another thing, not just for Georgia, but for all of college football, we have to kind of keep an eye on, right, of who may opt out, just like in all the other sports, who may be a little concerned, and, of course, who may not be there because they have COVID. I mean, it's going to be a different watch on who's at practice this August.
Yeah, it is, and I don't think there's any decision been made on those guys yet. I don't think anybody has officially opted out, but, I mean, it's not news you want to hear if you're a Florida fan that four or five guys didn't. That they at least held out of the first practice, because at the end of the day, let's say they hold out of three or four practices or a couple more, those players are going to have to go through the acclimation period before they can get going. They're going to have to go through helmets only practices just like everybody else. So they're just kind of behind the times right now. And, I think, you know, some Georgia fans would tell you that they hope they're back at practice tomorrow, that they want a chance to beat Florida at full strength and to kind of show people that Florida isn't the media darling that they've kind of been. And I'm skeptical of Florida, too, but I was skeptical of them last year, and they were a lot better than I thought they'd be.
Jake Rowe, our guest, Dogs247. All right, let's talk about this Georgia injury report that Kirby gave last night. Obviously, people are a little concerned about the quarterback situation, but Newman is supposed to be back at full strength today. Any concern for you on whatever he may have missed out of the summer mini camp not being there?
Not really. I think that he got all of that prior to spring practice. You know, they kind of had like a little bit of a winter access time where he went through walkthroughs. It was a very mild sprain. I had been told he was in a boot for about 4 or 5 days just to help it heal faster. Unless they're concerned about it lingering on, unless it lingers on, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I still think Newman's going to end up winning the job. I think JT Daniels is the guy that's there. If they want to use Newman and if they need to use him to run the football and to kind of, get in the red zone, things like that, I think he's there for that very purpose. And, I think that Georgia's set at the quarterback position, and they've got a couple of really good options that can kind of step up and be the guy at any point.
Daniel's not cleared yet with that knee, but do you expect him to be in these 25 days or 25 practices, I guess, before the 26th of September?
Yeah, for sure. He's not going to miss anything by not being cleared, because they're not going to hit him.
Yeah.
So he's definitely going to be full go as far as a quarterback goes, and I don't think he'll miss any time. We got 6 weeks before practice, before the first game. I feel confident he'll be cleared, prior to that. They're probably just kind of taking it slow because they can.
Dominique Blaylock coming back from that torn ACL. Sure would be nice to have him with Pickens. What have you heard about him and his recovery?
Well, the funny thing is that we've been hearing, that he's about how much he's been doing for the past few weeks. And it was a little bit surprising that he hasn't been cleared yet. But, again, it's probably – listen, it's a long preseason. There aren't as many practices, but it's a long preseason, and I think that as you get closer to the game, those last couple weeks or last week and a half, when you start really honing in on the game plan and stuff, I think you'll see guys like that get completely cleared.
The Ringo injury, it sounds like he's out for the season. Look, everybody expected him to push for playing time because he was the best cornerback in the country coming in. but it's not like he's not going to be able to play at a position that it was a weakness. They still had numbers and names there. So how do you term him not being able to play?
I think Georgia's going to be fine. Bill, what it does is when you combine that with the Devon Wilson injury, you do lose some depth at the sub-package positions, that star and that money position, because I think Ringo would have given Georgia some depth at corner that maybe they could have used a corner in one of those spots. Right now, it's Mark Webb and it's Tyreek Stevenson as far as extensive experience. You got William Poole there who can do it. Chris Smith should be able to help out there. But Georgia's not very deep at safety or those sub-package spots now, so you really want to see a guy like Jalen Kimber step up. I do think Kelee Ringo is gone for the year. I think it's going to take something pretty impressive on the recovery front for him to be back for the end of the year. It really sounds like there was a pre-existing injury there that he tried to deal with, and they felt it was better to go ahead and get it fixed. But I really just feel bad for him because he's got a mom that's dealing with cancer. And he's also dealing with some cancer type treatments. I don't want to speak on that fully. I don't know the full extent of that, but he's got a mom that's dealing with some medical issues, and now he's dealing with some medical issues, and he's all the way from Scottsdale, Arizona, kind of moved across the country, COVID, all that stuff. Just a lot on an 18, 19-year-old guy to have to take care of. But, oftentimes these guys are cut from different cloths, so we'll see if he can kind of manage that. But it's probably a lot more challenges than he was expecting coming into his first year.
Back to offense before we let you go. If you're able to talk to Todd Monken, what are you curious about with him? What are you going to ask him?
Oh, man. Just want to know his philosophy, kind of what he wants to do at Georgia, because it just seems like it's so cliche to hear offensive coordinators. And listen, this isn't aimed at James Coley. I've never been anybody that was super hard on James Coley. It's pretty apparent that he wasn't the guy that they wanted him to be, and a move wouldn't have been made if Kirby, if Kirby was happy with what happened last year. But that's what James Coley said, and that's what Jim Chaney said. And I thought Jim Chaney did a much better job, if we're being honest, than James Coley. He had some, kind of a better setup with the receiver position and stuff like that. But, I kind of get tired of hearing that. I kind of get tired of, obviously there's an element of that, but there's also a system you're going to run, and there's a philosophy you're going to abide by. And you kind of get tired of hearing whatever scores the most points. Well, that's kind of like my dad asking me, hey, my dad, when I used to ask him who was going to win, he said, well, whoever scores the most points. Well, yeah, I mean, I get that, but how do you want to get there? What do you feel like you can do to get there with this team? And I don't expect any groundbreaking answers if we get a chance to talk to him, but yeah. I do kind of want to find out how good he is with the media because you kind of miss Jim Chaney a little bit. He was really good with us.
All right, we'll see. I know all the fans will be anxious to hear that as well. Again, you can follow Jake on Twitter at ROWE247. Great stuff, sir. Thank you very much. Enjoy the Zoom world of interviewing.
Hey, Bill, let's all keep our fingers crossed that the rest of these schools are going to do what North Carolina did today and go to online-only classes.
Yep.
Because that's going to give us the best chance to play football. And as we're learning, these players are so much more responsible, by and large, than the student body, so because they've got something at stake. So hopefully they get what they want, and we'll get a chance to see football.
177 students at Chapel Hill are in isolation. 349 more are in quarantine, and now they're going to virtual learning. So there you go. Jake, thank you. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, man.